You know, Saints, many years ago, when I lived in Pensacola, I used to go to a regular Bible study out on Gulf Breeze, which was an island off the coast of Pensacola. And I used to watch the chemtrails that they would put up above the city. I'd watch them blow out over the ocean regularly as I went south and east towards Gulf Breeze Island. They would come back and do it again. And they'd come back and do it again. And they'd just keep blowing out because there was a steady breeze across Pensacola and out over the ocean that way. And they were determined. We knew in those days that the stuff they were spraying was making people sick. And sometimes deadly sick. I lost a very good friend to that. And I've kind of kept my eye on it ever since. You should know that contrails, normal contrails, evaporate quickly behind the jet engine. But chemtrails cannot evaporate completely. They have to dissipate. And they can cover the whole sky in this way. I'd like to talk to you a little bit about some spiritual warfare that we really need to do. In our part of Tennessee, we're used to seeing chemtrails start out as lines across the sky, across the whole sky sometimes, and then dissipate into clouds that cover the whole sky. Maybe a month or so before Christmas, maybe 2 months, I'm not good at that. Before Christmas in 2014, they intensified greatly so that we did not see the sky for days. And then on Christmas Day, the sky was perfectly blue. Everybody commented. And I pointed this out to many, that normal air traffic continued on that day just like every day. But there was no sign of trails across the sky, meaning the contrails disappeared. They did not leave lines across the sky. The only difference was that the spray tankers weren't flying. The chemtrail tankers weren't flying because their flyers were taking the holiday off. And this clearly pointed out the difference between normal air traffic and the work of chemtrail tanker planes. In the evening, we began to see a change in the pattern of their flights. They were just all the way across the sky sometimes, but this time there was a difference. We live just north of a city where some of our brethren live. The sky was clear everywhere in the evenings except over that city, where it was totally congested with chemtrails that had dissipated and come down close to the building level. This was a little bit of a change for us. We were used to looking up, seeing them streak over our heads, you know. But now we would go out to the main highway and look all around and see nothing but blue sky and look down to the left towards this city and see this brown haze across the sky over the city. And it was the only place it was. You could pass through the city, go out the other side, and there was nothing on the other side. They were definitely targeting the city. And we watched this for days, and it was the same. In the evenings, this smog descended on the city. And we noticed driving into the city that the sky was dark above. In other words, as you went into the city, it suddenly got dark. But blue when you got out from under the city for a ways. And there was no doubt that this city was being targeted with chemtrails and probably many other cities too. But this was our personal experience. Many people in the city were getting sick with cold, flu symptoms of coughing, chest and nasal congestion, headaches, etc. It was totally unusual, but you could go into a store and you could hear coughing all over the place. When people talked to you, there was rumbling in their chests, you know. And, of course, this has been stated publicly to be an epidemic for some time across the nation. So what is so common that it would be across the nation? Chemtrails. I've been telling the brethren for some time that this so-called flu is coming from the plains. The flu shots, we read, that are being given are for a different strain from what is making people sick. But they say, take them all the same. Take them anyway. And I never have had a flu shot, which is a really good way to catch the flu. Our friend Jeff works in a nursing home in another nearby city. And the patients seemed pretty healthy, but then they gave the patients flu shots, and they all got the flu, except for Jeff, who refused the shots. Everybody else in the building that he knew of took the shots. He was told by the nurses he would catch the flu, but he denied it, and he was the only one who did not get the flu. What is coming from the chemtrails is a different strain than that which is being given as a flu shot. I think this is by design. We have a high concentration of Christians in the area. In fact, it's probably more than the Bible Belt, as they call it. A lot of Christians. And they seem to be targeted by these chemtrail planes. And I'll share a reason for that in just a minute. Of our own brethren spread throughout the area, the ones in the city are having the most trials with what we call the crud. So we've been emphasizing our Passover lamb who bore the curse for us. Like in Exodus 12 and 12, the Lord said, "For I will go through the land of Egypt in that night, and I will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And against all the gods of Egypt will I execute judgments, for I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and there shall no plague be upon you to destroy you." How does he see the blood today? We know in 1 Corinthians 5 that we have a Passover lamb who's already been sacrificed, we're told. But how does he see the blood over our doorpost today? Obviously, we have to apply the blood, and we can only do it by faith. We know that the blood of Jesus is what sets us free, because the blood of our parents delivered us over to the curse, because sin was passed on through the blood. And the blood of Jesus, of course, was shed for us. He became a curse for us. So we apply the blood. Some people say, well, I plead the blood. Well, I think that's pretty good. But I think you got to apply the blood by faith in these promises. And the Lord said it, when he saw the blood, he would pass over you, and there would be no plague upon you to destroy you. No plague, in this case, was not talking about just germs, you know, or viruses. A plague was, all of the judgments that fell upon Egypt were called plagues. So it just means a blow, a strike against you, you know. He said, when I smite the land of Egypt, when I smite the land of Egypt. So it's in God's hands, right? He said, I will pass over you when I smite the land of Egypt. So it's really all in God's hands. And it is a trial, it's a test. He wants to see who's going to be a believer, right? In Exodus 15 and 26, we're told by the Lord, and he said, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and wilt do that which is right in his eyes, and wilt give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of the diseases upon thee which I have put upon the Egyptians. The Lord, once again, taking credit for this judgment. For I am the Lord that healeth thee. Not only does he judge, but he also heals. And that's all by faith. That's all applying the blood by faith. That's the only difference between the Israelites and the Egyptians, is they had the blood applied by faith. So you can't prove you're an Israelite unless you can apply the blood by faith. Galatians 3 and 13, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law. That is, your disobedience of the law brings a curse, and Jesus bore that curse, having become a curse for us. In other words, God made him this curse. He put our curse upon him. For it is written, cursed is every one that hangeth on a tree. 1 Peter 2 and 24 says, who his own self bare our sins in his body on the tree, that we, having died unto sins, might live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. Notice, he bore the sin, and he bore the penalty. Oh, praise God. This gives us a chance to live on this earth long enough to grow up in him, right? Well, we hope so. But a lot of people don't believe in these benefits. Well, with this understanding as a backdrop, I'd like to just share an article with you, which I share in part. And it seems to connect the dots of chemtrails, flu, and Christians. It seems to show a method behind the madness. The flu dispersed by the planes is said to be a carrier of a fundamentalist vaccine engineered by scientists. The flu enables this vaccine to be transferred from human to human. That's why they used it as a carrier. It is a mind control drug that suppresses Christian fervency. It's also a method the beast is using to bring some into captivity. You know, we've been talking a lot lately about going into beast captivity. Well, that happens first of all in your mind before it happens physically, right? Well, that's what this is all about. Keep in mind, the world's solution is not ours. We stand by the Passover Lamb who bore the curse upon himself. And I'm only sharing this so that you'll know what to pray against. Be sure not to have any fear concerning this, because we're told in Isaiah 54 and 17 that no weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. And every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment, thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness, which is of me, saith the Lord. Now, that's the last part's pretty important. And their righteousness, which is of me, saith the Lord. I'll talk more about that later, but the very foundation of anything that you receive from God's got to be grace. It's not your works, because nobody's works measure up to God. So it has to be grace. And if you make it your works, that you've got to be good enough or God's not going to answer, well then, you're laying yourself wide open to the devil, who knows full well how to knock people down through condemnation. And there's no condemnation of them that are in Christ Jesus. We'll talk about that in a little bit. But first, I want to share this article with you, or a part of it anyway. Part of it wasn't very useful. And it's by Mike Adams from Natural News, and this was just published in January, on January the 20th, 2015. It says 600 strains of an aerosolized thought control vaccine already tested on humans, deployed via air, food, and water. He goes on to say, according to the document you're about to see, for the last 8 years, government scientists have actively engineered viral vaccines designed to alter thoughts and beliefs by infecting the brain and suppressing genetic expression of neurological cells. Dispersal of these vaccines has been tested via high-altitude aerosolized sprays, which is chemtrails, highway vehicles, the water supply, and even the food system. As you'll see in the document and video below, and we've transcribed the video, the vaccine was intended from the start to be deployed against civilian populations. And 600 strains of infectious viruses were tested on human subjects. One of the transmission vectors documented in the testing exploited an influenza strain to spread the mind-infecting virus as a pandemic. The point of all this is to infect the minds of the population and transform people into what the government calls normal. From the government's point of view, of course, normal means obedient and mindless. This is all described in a video and a document that surfaced several years ago, but which only now is beginning to connect the dots as the medical police state in America accelerates to insane levels of aggression against the population. You can see recent stories, and there's links all through this article, so I can't go to all the links, but you can see recent stories on medical kidnapping in Arkansas and CPS kidnapping of children in Arizona, for starters. Using aerosolized stealth vaccines as tools of behavioral control and mind alteration is another chapter here. And then he shares this YouTube video, described as leaked Pentagon video. Features a Bill Gates-sounding scientist explaining in cold, calculating language how engineered vaccines can eliminate behavior that's considered undesirable by the government. Starting at the three-minute mark, you can hear this scientist explaining how a vaccine can turn a fanatic into a normal person. A normal person, of course, means a person who is obedient to government authority. And here's a partial transcript of the presentation from 2005, so you can guess how far they could have gone since 2005. A scientist is giving their explanation, and he says, and that would have the effect, which is to essentially turn a fanatic into a normal person. A person from the audience speaks. How would you suggest that this is going to be dispersed? Via aerosol? The scientist said, the present plan and the tests that we've done so far have used respiratory viruses such as flu or rhinoviruses, and we believe that's a satisfactory way to get the exposure of the largest part of the population. And we're quite confident this would be a very successful approach. From the audience, what's the name of this proposal? The scientist said, the name is FunVax, the vaccine for religious fundamentalism. The proposal has just been submitted, and I think the data that I have shown you today would support the development of this project, and we think it has great promise. And also, we have a full transcription of the video that I can share with you in a few minutes. And then there's a watch the video, which carries a U.S. Department of Defense identifier of DOD ID 149AZ2. And a comment here, designed to infect brain cells and alter belief and behavior. This document at wanttoknow.info appears to explain the design and intent of the virus in a summary entitled Quarterly Funvax Review. The document says the objective of this phase of Project ID 149AZ2 is to prepare a viral vector that will inhibit or decrease the expression of VMAT2 or VMAT2 within a human population. The design allows the virus to infect the respiratory tract, which is what most people recognize very quickly from the chemtrails as the respiratory problems, where cytolytic infection occurs and then subsequent diffusion across the blood barrier to infect brain cells. The document goes on to say that there will be coordination between the research, clinical, and manufacturing groups taking place in 2007. This clearly spells out intent to take this project from the research phase to manufacturing and deployment. You may wonder, therefore, against whom these weaponized mind control vaccines might be deployed. Right, the answer is you. And now the subject turns to dispersal via air, water supply, highway vehicles, and insects. According to the document linked above, the dispersal of the brain-modifying viral vaccine was tested in six different ways. Six methods of virus dispersal were tested. High-altitude release, chemtrails, in other words, water supply release, insect transmission, diffusion by a ground-level object, such as a car, diffusion from a stationary object, such as a bottle, and infection of food supplies, such as cattle or produce. And, of course, the first one there, the aerosol release, eventually gets to all of those. So it's the most common and most broadly used. As you take in the paragraph you just read, consider that now, nearly 8 years later, we are witnessing the release of genetically engineered mosquitoes, combined with outbreak of bizarre neurological conditions across the U.S. School children and mysterious health conditions all over the world. The high-altitude release of this mind-altering viral vaccine has no doubt already been achieved through the aerosolized spraying of cities in crisscross patterns of aerosolized dispersal at altitude, often labeled as chemtrails. And then the subject changes suicide genes, field testing, and future experiments. The same document cited above goes on to summarize a research group meeting that apparently took place on March 21, 2007, in which the following topics were discussed. Proposal for a suicide gene. Dispersal methods. T testing efficiency in the field. Inhibitors that may target a specific population. Monkey knockdown progress. And future experiments. Other directives in the document say things like all 600 strains of VSV should be retested on human subjects. Future experiments of VSV-287 should allow the subject to breathe in the virus rather than being injected with it. The use of FunVax could see an immediate effect within the targeted zones. The results of mass inoculation should be proportionate to the rate of infection. Behavioral indicators, decreased in armed resistance, increase in communications that express discontent with religion or God. All right, we can see what the beast is after here, right? No armed resistance and discontent with religion and God. The subject again changes to fully intended to be deployed against civilian populations. It is clear from the document that this mind-altering, brain-infecting vaccine was intended from the start to be deployed against civilian populations. In fact, the document discussed plans for covertly taking biological samples from dead civilians in order to determine the effectiveness of the aerosolized dispersal effort. A blood sample of militant casualties or deceased civilians would provide the most accurate estimate of the rate of vaccination. Biological samples from living subjects may be covertly taken. The test that should be repeated using the VSV-287 are high atmospheric tests. An airborne virus would be the preferred route of infection. A strain named VSV-287 has been designed to spread via air. Only human trials can determine VSV-287's effect on religiosity and spirituality. High atmospheric dispersal, or dispersal by a ground level moving object, appears to be the most practical. The government has a history of using aircraft to disperse vaccines. The airdropping of vaccines onto large populations isn't new, by the way. As I reported here on Natural News in 2012, the Texas government airdropped 1.8 million rabies vaccines onto wild animal populations as part of a government-run scheme to vaccinate wildlife. Yes, even wild coyotes and rabbits are not safe from the vaccine zealots. No animal on the planet is considered safe by health authorities unless it is first infected with a virus or two. The Department of Defense plan is far more elaborate, however, using aerosolized dispersal with high-altitude aircraft or even dumping viral vaccines into the water supplies of large cities. Let me say, when they use high-altitude aircraft, they're not as accurate as to where it condenses or falls. But if they did it any lower, obviously there would be a big problem with the population. So they do it pretty high. For that reason, when we was in Pensacola, a lot of it, most all of it, blew out over the ocean. And they didn't care. They didn't care how much money they spent, because somebody up there probably owns the chemicals, right? And so they would just do it again and again. Just keep on blowing it out over the ocean. He says such an action would be considered an act of domestic terrorism if you or I did it, of course. But when the government proposes it, suddenly it's okay. Yeah, they seem to have a free hand to do whatever they want. Has a mind-altering vaccine already been released over U.S. cities? Well, all this brings us to the obvious question. Has this mind-altering vaccine already been deployed over U.S. cities? It's a legitimate question because the high-altitude deployment of this vaccine against civilian populations was clearly the intent of the program. A mass dumbing-down vaccine lobotomy would sure explain a lot of what's going on in America these days. I've also been wondering why we're seeing a wholesale abandonment of morality and ethics across the Western world these days. And it's not an outlandish area of iniquity, of inquiry, excuse me. It's not an outlandish area of inquiry to wonder if entire cities of people have been intentionally exposed to a virus that infects their brain, just as described by the scientists in the video. I know it sounds like the actions of a Batman movie villain, but then again, we already know the vaccine industry is largely staffed by mad scientists with villainous intent. Remember, this is the same group of disreputable scientists who knowingly committed scientific fraud by covering up the confession of a CDC scientist who admitted the agency manipulated data to eliminate any apparent link between vaccines and autism. Mm-hmm. It's no stretch at all to realize that these same people would gladly deploy vaccines to dumb people down if it made them more compliant and docile. The greatest enemy of the vaccine industry is, of course, anyone who can think for themselves. We also know that vaccines are being deployed right now to go covertly sterilize women using sterilization chemicals secretly mixed into the vaccines themselves. We also know there's still toxic mercury in flu shots, even though the establishment ridiculously claims flu shots are 100% safe to give to pregnant women, infants, toddlers, senior citizens, and everyone else. This is an industry that actually seems to enjoy the power trip of causing widespread health harm, vaccine-induced seizures, comas, autism, and even death. Deploying the vaccines at high altitude to invisibly fall onto large cities where they are inhaled by millions of people is an almost erotic fantasy come true for those anti-human vaccine zealots who despise life and openly advocate human depopulation. Some harsh words for the devil's children, obviously. Perhaps we're already 5 years into a massive war against human consciousness that's being waged every day at every level, from the droning idiots on the cable news network to the brain-destroying medications dosed out to nearly every person who steps foot in a doctor's office. Combine aerosolized, weaponized vaccines with the mind-numbing effects of fluoride, TV sitcoms, chemical food additives, and mass media social engineering, and you end up with a nation of sleepwalking zombies who are only capable of obedience, not independent thought. And you know, saints, from my point of view, none of this is dangerous to the Christian, the one who is walking in the Spirit, believing and speaking the truth, right? Through these aerosolized vaccines, in other words, the hilariously depicted zombie apocalypse may already have begun. It's amazing how they're out there joking. The government is out there joking about this. And they're actually trying to do it. And perhaps the so-called mindless masses are actually just victims of nefarious government-run behavioral modification program designed to turn a human breath into an unintended vaccination event. And Miss Robin actually went back and took the whole video and transcribed it. It's not that long, and I think I'll read it to you because it'll really sink in if I do. Scientist speaks first. Excuse me. He's standing in front of a board up there with slides. Excuse me. On the left over here, we have individuals who are religious fundamentalists, religious fanatics, and this is the expression of RT-PCR, meaning real-time PCR, expression of the VMAT2 gene, or VMAT2 gene. Over here, we have individuals. And an audience person in the audience speaks up. Doctor, I don't want to poke holes in your theory, but... Then the scientist takes over again. So let me complete. So over here, we have individuals who are not particularly fundamentalist, not particularly religious. And you can see there's a much reduced expression of this particular gene, the VMAT2 gene. Another evidence that supports our hypothesis for the development of this approach. Another person in the audience speaks up. What you see here is like by spreading this virus, we're going to eliminate individuals from donning a bomb vest and going into a market and blowing up the market. Well, you see, they have deceived the audience because that's not where they're spraying the chemicals. They're spraying them over the United States. Scientist speaks again. So our hypothesis is that these are fanatical people, that they have overexpression of the VMAT2 gene, and that by vaccinating them against this, will eliminate this behavior. So we have some very, very remarkable data in this next slide. Here we have two brain scans. These are fMRIs. These are two different individuals with different levels of expression of the VMAT2 gene. On top is an individual who's a religious fanatic, an individual, and were repeated this numerous times that has high levels of VMAT2. Now, this individual down here who had low levels of VMAT2 gene, this individual would self-describe as not particularly religious. In each case, these individuals were read a religious text. This individual, a light lit up the right middle frontal gyrus, showing here, and now that's a part of the brain that's associated with the theory of mind. It's a part of the brain that has to do with intents and beliefs and desires. In contrast, it marked contrast, here's an individual who would not particularly self-describe as religious, and when they're read a religious text, what you see is that this part of the brain called the anterior insula lights up. This is a part of the brain that's associated with disgust or displeasure on hearing something. In other words, that religious text. They're disgusted with a religious text. The audience, somebody from the audience answers, so you're suggesting that I take a CT scan with me when I evaluate people to determine whether I put a bullet in their head. remember, this is a DOD thing, Department of Defense. The scientist, so the data that I'm presenting here supports the concept that we're proposing, and I think we would not propose to do CT scans or fMRIs on individuals out in the hinterlands of Afghanistan. Again, the deception is that they're not spraying this in Afghanistan, but in the United States. The virus would immunize against this VMAT2 gene, and that would have the effect that you see here, which is essentially to turn a fanatic into a normal person, whatever they consider normal. Obviously, God didn't agree with that, or he wouldn't have built people that way, right? And we think that will have major effects in the Middle East. Again, that's a farce. They're not spraying it over there. And person from the audience, how would you suggest that this is going to be dispersed? Like aerosol? The scientist. Well, so the present plan and the tests that we've done so far have used respiratory viruses such as flu or rhinoviruses, and we believe that that's a satisfactory way to get the exposure of the largest part of the population. He's talking about our population. And most of us, of course, have been exposed to both of these viruses. That's very interesting. And we're quite confident that this will be a very successful approach. Yeah, they figure if it doesn't get you directly from the air by putting the virus into you, that you'll infect your neighbor and your family and everybody else with it, right? So it's kind of ingenious in an evil way. Somebody from the audience, this is fascinating. What's the name of the proposal? Scientist. Yeah, so the name of this project is FunVax, which is a vaccine for religious fundamentalism. Audience, and do you have a proposal already? Scientist, the proposal has just been submitted, and I think that the data that I have shown you today would support the development of this project, and we think that it has great promise. Well, Saints, what's important is for you to be immunized from them. Remember, if you do get symptoms of the flu, there is no condemnation. It's a trial of your faith, right? That's what a trial of your faith is when you're promised one thing and you're seeing another one. And it's okay. It's important that our faith is tried, according to James chapter 1, right? So just make sure you have a clean conscience and speak and walk your faith boldly. We're gonna post this on the site and as updates in the upper left hand corner of the site as updates, and I'm gonna put on it some videos for you to listen to. One of them is called No Plague Be Upon You. And the other one, God's Vaccine. And there's actually six of those. And we're hoping to vaccinate you against not only this, but every other kind of evil thing, evil curse that they want to bring upon us in order to have the kind of population that will be docile, obedient, and Antichrist, because that's obviously what they're shooting for, right? So, give me just a minute. I'm going to pick up my Bible here, and I want to remind you that the foundation for this is grace. Romans 4 and 1 says, "What then shall we say that Abraham our forefather hath found according to the flesh? For if Abraham was justified," that means accounted righteous, we need to be accounted righteous, saints, in order to receive answers from God. For if Abraham was justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not towards God. In other words, God doesn't accept your justification by works. And if you try it, you will fail. You'll fail to get your answers from him. The only foundation he accepts is grace. That's unmerited favor. For what saith the Scriptures? And Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned unto him for righteousness. He just believed God, and it was reckoned, it was imputed unto him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh, the reward is not reckoned as of grace, but as of a debt. The reward, of course, is the answer that you want, the need that you need met, right? To him that worketh, in other words, a person who thinks they're good enough, thinks they've been good enough to receive this from God, or thinks that they're not good enough to receive it from God, neither one of these people are going to receive from God, because they have equated their ability and their works to answers from God. He goes on to say, now to him that worketh, the reward is not reckoned as of grace, but as of a debt. In other words, God is not going to owe you anything. He's only going to give it freely, or he's not going to give it at all. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, and saints, by the way, you might be a pretty good person. You may be obeying the Scriptures as much as possible. But if you got a sin, then you're a sinner. When he says justifieth the ungodly, he's talking about justifying somebody who manifestly still has sin. They have not come to completion yet. Now to him that worketh not, that's you who is not counting upon your works to have a right to God's benefits. To him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is reckoned for righteousness. His faith. In other words, believing that God gave you these benefits in Jesus Christ, covered your sins, etc. Even as David also pronounceth blessing upon the man unto whom God reckoneth righteousness apart from works, and you might even say his works, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven, and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not reckon sin. Oh, praise God. I'm going to jump on down to verse 16. And for this cause it is of faith, that it may be according to grace, to the end that the promise may be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law. In other words, those a person who's under the law, of course, is justified by their works, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. So somebody who's not perfect has a right to this just as much as somebody that is perfect has a right to this under grace. That's why he says, for this cause it is of faith, that it may be according to grace, to the end that the promise may be sure to all of the seed. Right? As it is written, a father of many nations have I made thee, before him whom he believed, even God, who giveth life to the dead, and calleth the things that are not as though they were. This is what faith does, friends. Who in hope believed against hope, to the end that he might become a father of many nations, according to that which has been spoken, so shall thy seed be. And without being weakened in faith, he considered his own body now as good as dead, he being about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb, so they couldn't bring forth fruit, right? Together they could not bring forth fruit. They had an inability to bring forth fruit, just like all of us. That's why, for this cause, it's of faith, you see. Yet looking unto the promise of God, he wavered not through unbelief, but waxed strong through faith, giving glory to God. And being fully assured that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. Wherefore also it was reckoned unto him for righteousness. It was reckoned. He was considered righteous. Not that he had manifested righteousness, he had considered. He was considered righteous, right? Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was reckoned unto him, but for our sakes also, unto whom it shall be reckoned, who believe on him that raised Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered up for our trespasses, and was raised for our justification. Being therefore justified by faith, counted righteous, because we believe in these things, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So this is the foundation for all of the benefits of the kingdom that you ask for from God, right? Including health and deliverance from mad scientists, right? Through whom also we have had our access by faith into this grace. We have our access by our faith into this grace wherein we stand. And we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we also rejoice in our tribulations, knowing that tribulations worketh steadfastness. You know what tribulations are? They're trials, they're testings, right? Through much tribulation shall we enter the kingdom. We must be tested. It must become a part of us. We're in boot camp, saints. We have to be steadfast in our tribulations. We have to endure steadfastly our tribulations. Like as if you got something off of one of those chemtrails and you thought, well, I thought that this was a Passover. Well, it is, and you have to hold fast to your Passover to see that disappear. That's how you fight the good fight of the faith, right? And steadfastness, approvedness. In other words, you'll be approved if you are steadfast. And approvedness, hope. And hope putteth not to shame, because the love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts through the Holy Spirit which was given us. How is the love of God shed abroad in our hearts? How do you prove that you love God? By keeping His commandments. Well, how do you keep His commandments? Well, you have to be justified by faith and ask God to do it, because He's the one that's going to do it in you, right? Oh, praise be to God. Isn't that good news? Well, Father, we ask You, Lord, to make us steadfast in our faith. And yes, we've all failed and come short of the glory of God. We don't want to be there, and that's why You justify us. We would like to be righteous in all things. But we come to You by faith, Lord. And Lord, You said, "Count it all joy, my brethren, when you fall into manifold temptations." Of course, You've taught us, Lord, that temptations are when we have the promise on one hand and the manifestation of the curse on the other, and we're tempted to believe other than what God says. And You said, Lord, knowing that the proving of your faith worketh patience, and let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, lacking in nothing. Lord, we thank You for Your gift of patience in our trials, in our temptations, that we steadfastly hold fast to Your word when going through these trials, so that we might have Your mighty blessings. Because You said, "He that endureth to the end shall be saved." He said, let patience have its perfect work that you may be perfect and entire, lacking in nothing. So, Lord, if we are perfect and entire, it will be because we've been patient in our faith to hold fast the confession of our hope that it waver not, for He is faithful that promised. And, Lord, we thank You for doing this in us. We thank You, Lord, that we don't have to be perfect in our own eyes in order to receive Your benefits. We just need to be perfect in Your eyes because we're justified through faith. And we thank You for this, Lord God, in Jesus' name.